Okay, I guess we're ready to go. We're going back to the book of 1 John. Before I do, Lorraine, is Esther okay?
Yeah, she's a little
chilled this morning. Okay. And I should request prayer, too, for child evangelism. I should request prayer for child character. They started this past week. They go to the different schools, and they walk them to a place where they can have classes with some of these children. I know my wife had a good class this week with about 20 kids over there at Divin School. And so pray for child character as it has just started this past week. Did you want to say anything about that, Maureen? Okay. Okay. Yeah. We're hoping for some good classes again this year. All right, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. I'm really going to be limited in time with this, but in the Lord's table today, I would like to go back to verse 16 and explain that to you, but I'm not going to be able to you because that's quite an explanation about sin that leads unto physical death. It's just not one sin. It can be any type of sin that leads to physical death. Some have brought it down to the fact of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but this verse really does not have anything to do with that. There are sins that lead unto death. If persisted in, will lead sometimes to the death of a person. It's an unusual happening, but it has happened, and it does happen from time to time. As I said, my 50 years of ministry, I've only known of two cases that I thought had occurred because a person had sinned unto death. But we're not going to go and deal with that. If you weren't here last week, you missed it, you can ask me about it afterwards if you'd like to. I'd like to go to this verse, verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, I'm not going to deal where there is a sin not unto death. I'm going to deal with this phrase today. All unrighteousness is sin. So the first words of verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, is inserted in there for a definite purpose, because John did not want to leave those he is writing to, or us, with the idea that some sins are not so bad in the light of the sin unto death. When you think of the sin unto death, you say, well, sinning unto death, that must be pretty bad. So in the light of that, we might get the idea that some sin isn't too bad after all. I can, this light sin over here, over there, I don't think too much about that because it's not a sin that's going to lead me into death or unto death. And so John writes this to counteract that thought that might come the way of those that he is writing to when he says in verse 17, after talking about the sin unto death, in verse 17, don't get the idea that any sin's okay, that there are some sins that are okay, because he says all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. So it goes from verse 16 to 17, and actually verse 17 will also lead into verse 18. So the first words, all unrighteousness is sin, is inserted here because John did not want to leave those he was writing to, or us, with the idea that some sins are not so bad in the light of the sin that leads unto death. Some like to distinguish, in a sense, between what is called venial sins or mortal sins. The Church of Rome is very famous for that, but there are venial sins, there are mortal sins. Venial sins being relatively slight, according to the dictionary, venial sins being relatively slight and do not deprive the soul of sanctifying grace. I don't know whether I can believe that altogether. Mortal means death or causing death or being subject to death. So some distinguish between venial sins and mortal sins. We know the wages of sin is death. Now, I have not heard it lately, to illustrate this a little bit, that you might be able to understand a bit more. I've not heard it lately as when somewhat younger, And some of you little older folks will join me in this. When everybody would distinguish between two types of lying. First of all, what type of lying? Little what? Little white lies, right? And then you had the black lies and the bad lies. And so to have the little white lies, that wasn't so bad, was it? You know, so we used to say, you know, it was the bad lies that we really shouldn't do. It's all right maybe to do a little white lie because that's not so bad. Well, that's the thought that might be coming the way of some of these that John is writing to. Some sin isn't so bad after all in the light of those sins that are what we might call the seven deadly sins. You know, some have taken Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, and they've called them the deadly sins. So if you want to look back at that, I'm not quite sure that's the right term, but that's what they've often been called. But if you turn back to the book of Proverbs in your Bible and look at chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs, these are what some call the seven deadly sins. Chapter 6, beginning with verse... That's not what I want. Uh-oh. How did I do that? Someone help me out. Well, maybe it is. Okay. Beginning with verse 16, yes. Chapter 6, beginning with verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These are sometimes categorized as the seven deadly sins. Now, this is the very reason John inserts these words. All unrighteousness is sin. If we do not commit what some call one of the deadly sins, that's not so bad. But John says that's not so. John says all unrighteousness is sin, lest we lead ourselves astray concerning the matter of sin. And although we may not want to think it so, all sin has its penalty. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The payment of sin is death. We work, we receive wages, correct? That's what we work for. We work in order to receive wages. So the wages or the payment, we've earned it. It's something we have earned. The wages, the payment of sin is death. We sin and we receive the wages of it. Now, it may be the sin of refusing Jesus Christ as who God said he is and not believing that his death on the cross saved those who believe in Christ and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ or do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ one way or the other. So it may be the sin of refusing to trust in Christ that leads to a Christless eternity. Someone receives the wages of refusing to believe God, to receive the word of God and the truth of the person of Jesus Christ. That, the wages, the deserved payment, is hell. It's eternal death, it's separation from God, and the lake of fire forever. We receive what we deserve if we refuse to believe in his only begotten Son that was sent into this world to die on a cross for our sins. Or it may be sin that leads to a physical death before a person's time is really up because the Christian persisted in his or her sin that was bringing a reproach upon God or Christ, or the cross, or the church, such as was the case in Corinth, as we often read at the end of our scripture concerning the Lord's table. For this cause, some are sickly among you, And some have gone the way of all flesh. Some have died because of their taking the Lord's Supper in a sectarian spirit, not loving one another, really trying to do away with one another in their four different groups that they had there in the church of Corinth. And Paul says, some of you are sick and some of you have died because of the way you're behaving. So it may be that type of a sin. And I'm talking about believers in that case that leads to physical death. It may be sin that has put the believer out of fellowship with God, that his prayers are hindered and his or her life is absent the peace and joy of oneness with the Lord. So there are all consequences of sin. Now, in chapter 3, excuse me, let me not go there right now. I'll go there in a minute. So John is saying, all unrighteousness is sin, lest we think lightly of some sins in contrast to other sins. This is why I have chosen today to emphasize we've chosen to emphasize this subject of sin today because of its importance and its effect upon us, or its effect upon others as well. So we ask the question, what is sin? And I cannot go into a detailed emphasis on this like I'd like to today, because time flies, as you know, because Christmas is almost here. You know how time flies. So what is sin? What is sin? Well, John is saying all unrighteousness is sin. Now, the word sin only has three letters, if I can count that far. But it becomes a very large word because of its significance. The significance that it has. So it's only three letters, but it's a very large word because of its significance. What is sin? Well, sin is well defined for us in the Word of God. And again, we do not have time to go to many, many, many verses that deal with sin. But even in 1 John, he has told us already in chapter 3, one aspect of sin. So if you just turn back a page or two, you'll see in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So we know sin is a transgression of that, rebelling against the law, overstepping the law, or lawlessness, disobedience to the commandments of God. Now, the Word of God also describes it as disobedience to the Word of God, and disobedience to the Word of God and to the will of God. It is also spoken in the Bible as trespasses, because in Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who were dead in what? Who were dead in trespasses and sin. That is self-will as opposed to the will of God. As we have self-will opposed to the will of God, that becomes sin in our life. So sin really is any act that is contrary to the holiness of God. So my wife picked out a good song for the choir this week when they said, holy, holy, holy. For sin is an act that is contrary to the holiness of God. And it is an act that has effects on the one who sins, and many times on others as well. For sin always has its effect. It's not passive. Sin never becomes passive. It has its effects. It has its effects on the person that sins, and sometimes on others as well. So sin is any act that's contrary to the holiness of God. An act that has its effects on the one who sins and many times others. Sin is missing the mark, as missing the bullseye on a target for you hunters, like Mark down there. Missing the bullseye. I have three grandsons and my middle daughter out in Pennsylvania. and they're all hunters, and they all shoot the arrow, you know, and they put their targets up, and I'm pulling off the driveway one day there in the Du Bois area, the Reynoldsville area where they live, and they got a target out there, and one is shooting his arrows at the target, and he's doing pretty well. He's hitting the bullseye quite a bit, but then he's missing it now and then. I said, boy, you're pretty good. Is Adam as good as you are? This is the middle son. He says, he's better. I said, well, go get him. And so he goes, gets him, brings him out, and he starts with it. He really was hitting the bullseye quite a bit. But then every now and then they miss the bullseye. Well, that's what sin is, missing the mark. Missing the mark of God's holiness in our lives. God is holy. And anything that does not come up to that holiness is missing the mark of God's holiness, and thus it becomes sin in our lives. We fall short. All unrighteousness is sin. Thus anything contrary to the righteousness of God is sin, and that's why we all need the righteousness of Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, for we have all fallen short of his righteousness, and thus in need of another righteousness, and that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Paul spends a great deal on that in the book of Romans, and you can get into the first five chapters, six chapters of the book of Romans, and you'll see how he spends a great deal of time on sin and unrighteousness and righteousness as well. So this is why we cannot think lightly. We cannot think lightly of any sin. If we do, then we are thinking lightly of what? We're thinking lightly of the holiness and the righteousness of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. When we consider any sin lightly, we are thinking lightly of the holiness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But not only that, we are thinking lightly of the cross of Christ and the death of Christ for our sin. We are impugning God. We are impugning Jesus Christ. And we have this table before us today because all unrighteousness is sin. That's why we have this table before us today. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We cannot think lightly of any sin in the life. Otherwise, we are imputing God and what he did for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life a ransom for us. And this is why we have 1 John 1:9 is given to us as believers, and we have ministered, of course, out of the chapter of 1 John. But 1 John 1:9 is given to us as believers. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. And that's what we need, a cleansing, even as believers in our life, for all unrighteousness. Because as believers, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the what is not in us. The truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because all unrighteousness is sin. It is sin. So again, no sin is taken lightly in God's eyes, nor should it be in our eyes. And all sin is a positive force for evil. Let me say that. All sin is a positive force for evil. And evil results from any sin. Sin is not passive. It's always active. It is a force in the world, and it is a force for evil. It said in chapter 3, verse 4, that sin was defined as transgression of the law of God, and in 5:17, John extends that to all unrighteousness. All, not only the transgression of the law, but all unrighteousness in the world. So we have sins of omission, we have sins of commission. Sins of omission that is not doing what we are supposed to be doing in regards to the law, Lord, and His will, and what His Word teaches. But if we're not doing it, that's sins of omission. And then we have those sins, as it were, of commission. That is doing that which is contrary to His righteousness. But it's all sin in the eyes of God. And our salvation and deliverance lies only in one place. It lies in the blood of Christ, that we might live a life for Christ and have fellowship with Him and with one another, as brought out in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and as well as chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, that our salvation deliverance lies in the person of Christ, as we've already brought out in verse chapter 1, verse 9. And then as you go into verse chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now that word propitiation, if you recall, in our message on that verse, has to do with satisfaction. That is, God is satisfied with what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, so that He becomes the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world, as He says here in this verse. So, little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation. He is the one that satisfies God for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. As sin was imputed unto us through Adam, I wish I had time to go into this, but I think you can get the idea of it. As sin was imputed unto us through Adam, as we were in Adam, for he is our representative when he sinned, for all have sinned, he is our representative. We were in Adam when he sinned there in the Garden of Eden. But as we were in Adam, so as our representative, for all have sinned, so righteousness is imputed to us through Christ by faith in Him, and His death on our behalf as He dies on the cross, as we are in Christ on the cross. We're in the person of Christ on the cross, for our sins are in Him. And He bare our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. So as we're in Adam, when we trust in Christ, we're in Christ. And the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, as the sin of Adam was imputed to us. The righteousness of Christ is now imputed to us. So we come to this table today in remembrance of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us, that He put His body on the tree, that He poured out His life through the shedding of His blood on the tree, which speaks of the pouring out of His life for us, that we might have life, but not only life, but that we might have life eternal in Him. So if anything should speak to us that no sin can be taken lightly, and that all unrighteousness is sin, it ought to be what this table is in remembrance of. And that is the death of Christ, who died for all of our sins, that we might have the forgiveness of all of our sins, and that we might have life through Him. Let us pray. If you're here today and you've never trusted Him, All that you have to do is right where you're sitting. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I will believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I will accept that as a payment for my sins in your own words, in your own way. You can receive him as such, as your Savior, that you might have the righteousness of Christ imputed to you, that you might be with him forever one day. And if you never trusted him, I trust that you'll do that even right now. Father, we pray, as we come to this table today, we might be reminded once again of the sacrifice that was made, because the wages of sin is death. And Christ died, and Christ made the payment for our sin on the cross, that we might be exonerated from our sins, and that we might have the forgiveness of sins, and that we might have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us be reminded once again of the payment that was made for us. We will thank you for it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.